Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Remember the Titans. They were off the radar, but they're back on now. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we play musical chairs coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the North Woods. So we begin with football. It was a game-time decision. We could have gone with baseball, but we decided to start with football because I got killed for starting with baseball in a previous episode of the show. But our lead this hour does come from the Music City. They tried to recreate, they being the Titans, the Music City Miracle, except this time they called it a forward lateral. As for the actual game itself, Josh Allen and the Bills, the top of the marquee versus Derrick Henry. He's a running back. And the Tennessee Titans in an AFC Donnybrook. Feels like these teams have played a lot in recent years, a lot of big games, a lot of important games. And this was, as far as week six is concerned, a big game going into it, the final matchup on the Week 6 card as they close it out. And Buffalo, the darlings of the talking heads, the TV people who are better people, they get paid more money than us on radio, and they were waxing poetic about Buffalo, this, that, and the other thing, Bills Mafia, the only mafia you need. And so Buffalo was as much as a 5.5-point road favorite in this game at the beginning and the middle part of last week. So if you didn't watch, and maybe you didn't, maybe you're watching the baseball game and you had other stuff going on. So we watched for you. It came down to the bitter end. And as an act of kindness, we'll tell you what happened. So Derrick Henry scampered for his third touchdown with a little over 3 minutes to go in the game. So Tennessee was nursing the lead at that point. They had a three-point lead. The Titans then got defensive and were able to stop Josh Allen on a controversial fourth down call by the Bills on a QB sneak, final seconds, and that's it. Tennessee with the win, 34-31 in the Monday night thriller in Nashville, snapping the Bills' four-game winning streak. The better story, though, is on the Buffalo side. The Bills Mafia Blues, the losing locker room, the side here. And the question, and really it's the only question that must be asked here, who do you pin this loss on for Buffalo? Do you pin it on Sean McDermott, the coach, going forward on fourth down when they had a chip shot field goal to tie the game and likely send it into overtime? Or do you blame Josh Allen, the quarterback? So, toss-up question, and I am pointing the finger at Josh Allen. Boom! Josh Allen. So my thoughts, you've got thoroughbred, perp walk, and baby steps. And we will tie all of these things together into a nice, neat little package forming the foundation of this Maller monologue. Now, A, Sean McDermott, who is being roasted by many for this decision to go for it on fourth and one with 22 seconds left. Now, I disagree with the masses. I'm going to be the contrarian here. I like the call. He was at a fork in the road, right? You kick a chip shot field goal, and you're then dependent on a coin toss. And if you don't win the coin toss, the way your defense is playing, you're going to lose the game anyway, right? So play it out in overtime, and then your defense that couldn't stop anybody, the second part of that game, you're going to then depend on them to make a play if you lose the coin toss. And if Tennessee goes down and scores a touchdown, you lose the game anyway. Or go for it with your MVP, supposed MVP candidate, Josh Allen. And Forget the analytics. We'll get into that later. I don't really care about that. I just watching the way the game was playing out, I agreed with the call. It took some gumption, a little moxie to go and make that particular call. The guy that screwed it up is Josh Allen. Again, he's your alleged MVP candidate. He's your thoroughbred. He's built like a brick house, 6'5", 237, and he can't get a first down of 1 yard. And the Tennessee defense, now they did do a good job. They bum-rushed Buffalo, and Josh Allen, you'd think he would have been able to just fall forward and get a yard, but instead he was stonewalled by the Titans. But if you go back a little further, this is the thing that a lot of people don't get, and so I was taking dubious notes because I'm a loser. And if you go back the final three plays, it wasn't just the final play, but Josh Allen actually effed up the final three plays. Buffalo had the ball second down and six from the Titans' 8-yard line with 44 seconds to go in the game. And Josh Allen threw an incomplete pass. So now it's third down and six. You're at the 8-yard line. Well, on this particular play, Allen ran a quarterback keeper. He scrambles to the left and was pushed out of bounds. He came up a yard short of the first down marker at the 3-yard line. So he needed to get that one extra yard, and so he blew it on that, and that led to Sean McDermott saying, you know what, I'm going to trust this guy. One more time, the coach having faith in his star player, the guy that got the forever contract from Buffalo, and Josh Allen sucked at a time you cannot suck. He failed to execute, and that cost the Bills the game. Buffalo also had problems in the red zone. They were in there a bunch. They had 5 red zone opportunities. They only scored twice in the red zone. Bunch of penalties. That was a key part of this as well. Now, part B here. When you analyze the random Monday night game, Bills-Titans, Buffalo's locker room has plenty of other guys on the post-game spread that can enjoy a nice big slice of the blame pie. In fact, the Buffalo defense got circled in red ink. They can collectively do a perp walk, the Bills defense, the NFL's number one defense coming into this game, dominating all of the measurables, right? All the statistics. Bills had the number one total defense in the NFL yards allowed. They had the number one scoring defense. They had a couple of shutouts on their resume. Number two rush defense. Number one pass defense. And watching how this played out and how Tennessee just continued to matriculate the ball down the field and get points on drives in the second half, it was a reminder of what the Dickster said to me years ago, and that's the great Dick Stockton, not Dick and Dayton, one of our callers, but Dick Stockton, retired broadcaster, who said, Ben, stats tell you what has happened. They don't tell you what's going to happen, and this is a prime example of that. The Titans' first three possessions, this looked like it was going to be a rout. The Titans came out, punt, punt, interception. Right, that's how you start the game. Punt, punt, interception. And then they would score on 6 of the next 7 possessions. And really, it was 6 for 6 because the one time they didn't score was because they just ran out the clock. They had like 20 seconds or 30 seconds, something like that. They ran out the clock before halftime. But Tennessee in the fourth quarter, games are won and lost in the fourth quarter. Tennessee outscored the Bills 10-0 in the fourth quarter, put up 120 yards of offense, and that number one Buffalo Bills defense, the number one pass defense in the NFL, clearly a byproduct of playing the Miami Dolphins and the, you go down the list, the Houston Texans, the Washington, whatever they're called, whatever wokesters call them now. But Ryan Tannehill, 9 of 9 for 103 yards in the final stanza. 9 out of 9 against the number one defense in the NFL. You can never call yourself the number one defense in the NFL when you allow Ryan Tannehill to go 9 out of 9 and shove it down your throats in the fourth quarter. Incompetence, malfeasance by the Bills defense with a wink and a nod to the one that gets the biggest piece of the blame pie outside of the Bills quarterback, Mr. Allen. That would be a linebacker named Andre Smith. You probably don't know who that is. I didn't know who that was until Monday night. But Isaiah McKenzie had a 101-yard kickoff return for the touchdown, nullified. That would have conceivably won the game right there for the Buffalo Bills. It was taken off the board. This is after the Henry touchdown. And it was taken off the board, nullified, because Andre Smith, who was going to get kicked out of the Mafia, he's called for offensive holding. It was enforced at the 28-yard line of Buffalo. So the Bills then started that drive, that fateful drive, at their own 18-yard line instead of a 100-plus-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. All right, last word here. So for Tennessee, this is needed, clearly needed. I mean, this is a feather in the cap for Mike Vrabel, and it's a work in progress. You file this in the category for the Titans of baby steps. The Titans have a lot of ground to make up. They have a couple of unexcused absences on their resume. Baffling start to the season. They weren't ready to answer the bell against the pipsqueak quarterback there for the Cardinals in week one, Alligator Arms Murray. They were guilty of truancy in that game. We all know Tennessee's a better team than the Cardinals. They just weren't ready to play. And then in week four, ravaged by injuries, they somehow lost to the Jets. That should be worth two or three losses. When you lose to the Jets, that should be a two or three loss addition to your record. And so now this win erases one of those losses for Tennessee. Beating Buffalo helps rewrite the screenplay on the 2021 Tennessee Titans season. And Derrick Henry, getting a lot of hype for the MVP award and all that. He's not going to win the MVP award, but he did rumble and stumble for 143 yards and three touchdowns, an average 7 yards a carry thanks to a 76-yard run. That skews the stats when you're the old running back, and you saw a glimpse of how dynamic the Tennessee Titans offense can be with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and those guys getting her done in the passing game. And the defense making the goal line stand to shut down Buffalo at the very end there. And they will find out whether the Titans are legit and they're back, and this is going to be more like the real Titans, because they run the gauntlet in the coming weeks. Week 7, it is Tennessee versus Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, that's in Nashville. The traveling circus of the Chiefs takes the trip to Tennessee, and then back-to-back road games. You got a divisional game with the Colts on Halloween before a Sunday night showdown against the leading candidate for the MVP award in the NFL, Matthew Stafford, top quarterback in football this year, and the Rams, who are off to the great 5-1 start. So that is what's ahead in the near future for the Tennessee Titans at this particular fork in the road. If you will.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You got to do the Monster Mash, the Green Monster Mash. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we pop up on the radar, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and extremely powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the disco as we do the hustle all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. And so our lead this hour coming from baseball, Fenway Park, the site of the American League Championship Series, the scene shifting from Texas, and a team that everyone loves to hate, the Houston Astros, taking on the Red Sox. Now the series tied up at a win apiece, heading into the pivotal Game 3. Did you watch? Maybe not. Maybe you're watching the football game instead. You saw the Buffalo Bills go belly up in Tennessee late, and you missed the baseball activity. So Kyle Schwarber hitting the third grand salami for the Red Sox in the last two games, and Boston coasting to a 12-3 laugher over the Astros. Boston now up 2-1 in the American League Championship Series. They can advance the World Series with two more wins at Fenway. If they win later today on Tuesday and on Wednesday, that's it. Finito Dunskies for the cheating Astros. They will be done. They will be buried. It certainly seems like they're buried now anyway. So let us discuss the question. What stands out from the latest Red Sox thumping of the Astros? So my observations. You've got Oprah, wanted posters, and eighth round. And we will combine all of these things together. Now, number one.
Number one.
So Fenway Park, which has always been a fun zone, there was a point when that was the premier home run ballpark in baseball. Now, you've got a bunch of other parks that play wonky baseball, not quite to the extent that Fenway does because of the Green Monster and whatnot, but it was a Sockapalooza as the Red Sox laying a can of whoop-ass, having a grand old time there, and a TKO for Boston in this game. You jump out to a 9-0 lead. Holy cannoli. You're up 9-0 after the first two innings of the game. The Red Sox, now they have their own sins in the baseball cheating category here, but no one can compare to the Astros. And of course, I know the Red Sox unfortunately have the mastermind, one of the masterminds of the cheating scandal, Alex Cora, who is on the payroll. But regardless of that, was I worried? Was I concerned that I might overdose on Schadenfreude watching the Astros take it in the shorts? Yeah, I was a little concerned. I had too much Schadenfreude as the Astros were getting disemboweled. It was just great. What a curb stomping. Houston pitching has been mollywopped in these last few games here. During the regular season, the Astros had the 9th best pitching staff, according to Fangraphs, in all of the big leagues. They were 9th best out of 30 teams in baseball. They were 9th best. And in this series, they have looked like T-ball rejects against the Astros. Boston batters, when they get up to the plate at this point, it's like a throwback to an old television show, the Oprah Winfrey Show. They're getting the Oprah treatment, right? Oprah standing up there with a big pillowcase with dingers. You get one! You get one! You, even in the back, you get one! Everyone gets a home run! Everyone gets a four-bagger! J.D. Martinez, check. Rafael Devers, check. Kyle Schwarber, check. Christian Arroyo, whoever that is, check. All had round trippers. Devers becoming the first player in big league history to hit for the home run cycle over the postseason, single postseason. Yeah, solo home run, two-run homer, three-run homer, grand slam over the first four home runs of a single postseason. Now, they didn't go exactly in that order. It wasn't the perfect cycle, but still a home run cycle for Rafael Devers, who's hurt. Whenever he strikes out or makes a bad play, he's hurt. But when he hits a home run, he's overcome the injury. The Red Sox have now set a record. 10 or more hits in 6 straight playoff games. They tied the record with 20 home runs in their first 8 games this postseason, and there is no sign at all of them slowing down. None. Now, the second point here. Dusty Baker, the better story in the losing dugout. Dusty Baker's Astros are crumbling. They're falling apart. Isn't it glorious? Isn't it great? Oh, it's so wonderful. Right? You hate to see it unless you don't. The three guys that are at the front of the wanted posters around Major League Baseball for fans. Right? Baseball doesn't really care. Rob Manfred looked the other way and allowed the cheating to happen. Didn't punish the people that were doing the cheating on the field. He allowed them to get away with it because he's a spineless coward, the commissioner of baseball. But the fans have been continuing to razz the cheating Astros, and they have a list of wanted posters in different ballparks. And all of the big three have had egg on their faces. Certainly in Game 3 they did. Jose Altuve, let's do a wellness check. 0-for-4 for Albuve. Alex Bregman, that little snot punk nose third baseman, 0-for-4. That cocky, look what time it is, Carlos Correa. I guess it wasn't your time. Wasn't your time, Correa. Ha-ha, you loser. 0-for-4. And even better, that little fun-sized second baseman, Jose Altuve, absolutely butchered a ground ball in the second, and it bounced off his chest. Now, for a normal person, it would have bounced off their knee, but for Altuve, it bounced off his chest, and it, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda been an inning-ending double play. A professional, top-notch ball player makes that play. Altuve, I guess he's slowing down. He's losing it. He couldn't make it. Maybe the buzzer didn't work. I don't know what happened there. Man, oh, man. Got an all-star ball player. He's got a bogus MVP award. He cheated to win it, Altuve. And there he is, butchering a ball on the field. Makes that play. It's 2-0 Sox. The Astros are still in the game. But instead, Kyle Schwarber. Get out the rye bread and mustard, Grandma. It's grand salami time. And as Dandy Dawn sang back in the day, turn out the lights, the party's over for the Astros. How great is that? Wonderful. God, it was great. I'm glad the game took like 17 hours, it seemed. It just slowed to a halt, and it was wonderful because the agony for the Astros. What a roundhouse kick to the nuts by the Boston Red Sox offense here. And now the final point, all right? I'm a big body language guy. I am. I'm into the body language part of this, the analysis. And looking at the Astros, they had the appearance to me like Roberto Duran in the eighth round versus Sugar Ray Leonard. Remember what happened in the eighth round of that famous fight? No mas! No mas! No mas! The Astros on the ropes right now. And it appears some of those guys are thinking about a nice tropical vacation. You can see all of the key indicators. If you saw the game on the Fox feed with Joe Buck and John Smoltz, you saw the same thing I saw. They have been absolutely shell-shocked these last two games. Flabbergasted. A nightmarish. F. Altuve! F. Altuve! F. Altuve! F. Altuve! I'm talking slouching shoulders, the pouty lips. That Carlos Correa, he's got a lot of pouty lips. So does Bregman. Looking down, the hand wringing, all the telltale indicators. Problem. A lot of problems. Houston is a team that desperately needs to call in reinforcements on the mound. The pitching staff has imploded. All right. Now, the offense is not doing that great either. I guess the proper trash cans have not arrived. There is a problem getting certain items shipped these days. The U.S. Postal Service has slowed down. Maybe the buzzers did not arrive. But man, oh, man. And that pitching staff, some guy named Blake Taylor, the only Astro pitcher to not give up a run. The other five Astro pitchers in this game on Monday night gave up runs. The Astros got five total hits in 30 at-bats. Five in 30 at-bats in a pinball gallery. I mean, it's a ridiculously easy ballpark to hit in Fenway Park, and they had five hits in 30 at-bats in the ALCS. You want some more Schadenfreude for the cheating Astros? Jose Albuve in the ALCS is batting 1-for-12. 0.83 is his batting average. Alex Bregman, also on the wanted poster, 2-for-12. With a 167 batting average. And over the last two games, Carlos Correa is 1-for-8 over the last two. And so now, Dusty Baker, with a pitching staff that is in shambles, is going to start Zach Greinke in game four. And unless Zach Greinke can go out somewhere and buy some pixie dust, this is not going to go well. Zach Greinke has not gone five innings in a start in 5 weeks. The Astros need someone to shut down the Red Sox and eat innings because their pitching staff is a tattered mess. And the game that Zach Greinke did go five innings in, he allowed 8 runs in that game. And if you go for the history, and again, this tells you what has happened. It doesn't guarantee anything. So I'm not telling you to bet your mortgage on this, but Zach Greinke, with all these different teams he's played for over the years, starting with the Royals and going to the Brewers and the Angels and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks and the Astros, Zach Greinke has pitched in 4 games at Fenway Park. Only 4 games. He started 3 games at Fenway. His career record against the various Boston teams over the years in that ballpark is 0-2 with an ERA of over 10. And that's the guy that the Astros are turning to in the pivotal Game 4 to avoid going down 3-1. The end is near. We are closing in on the witching hour for the cheating Astros. See, I think I'm going to morph into like the Boston hater. We have this guy that calls up, John the Boston hater. And he's like a Yankee fan. He lives in Florida now. And he's like, I think he's originally from New York. And he just, anytime the Red Sox are eliminated or the Bruins or the Celtics or the Patriots, he calls up and he calls it a Boston haters, you know, dynasty, and he celebrates and that. But I think what I'm going to do is every time the Astros are eliminated, I will be the one celebrating. I will be the one having a party. That is the tentative plan here. Let's hear from some of the participants in this game. We'll start out with Alex Cora, a cheating Astro back in the day. Here is Alex Cora pointing out that the Red Sox right now appear to be doing things the right way.
We're playing good baseball, I think, all around, running the bases well, playing good defense, pitching well. So offensively, this is the best we've been the whole season, and they're locked in right now.
Yeah. All right, and one more from Alex Cora here, who says if there is such a thing as a masterpiece, you likely witnessed it.
Today was the closest we've been to a perfect game, to be honest with you. We pitched well, played great defense, we ran the bases. We were very aggressive in a lot of aspects, you know. So tonight is one of those that you feel good about it, but at the same time, like we always do, we turn the page, we'll be ready for tomorrow. You know, that's a really good team out there. It's never comfortable with them, so we got to be ready.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Koopaloo.
Dan Campbell didn't exactly give Jared Goff a vote of confidence after the Lions' latest loss. In fact, Campbell said that he needs to step up more than he has, and but it's hard to judge him due to the lack of talent in the offense. Ben, how much is on Goff and how much is on the lack of help?
80% on Goff, 20% on the lack of help. Listen, Goff is a creation of Sean McVay. That's it. Jared Goff had to be spoon-fed baby food. And Goff, 42-20 in games started by Sean McVay, 677 winning percentage, 13 games without Sean McVay, he's 0-13. Need I say more? Now, the Lions have bad receivers. The other problem Jared Goff's got is the Lions are currently in position to have the number one pick. So this guy Matt Corral of Ole Miss or somebody named Malik Willis of Liberty are supposedly the top two quarterbacks in the draft. But someone will come along who will be the hotshot quarterback of 2022, and the Lions will draft whoever that is, so Goff will be out. Next!
It was reported yesterday that Raiders owner Mark Davis is considering legal action against the NFL over the email leaks, the accusation being that the league has it out for him and his organization. Ben, do you think Davis would actually follow through with this?
Well, the email leaks were done intentionally. We believe the conspiracy theory. It was done to help DeMaurice Smith stay in charge of the union. Why else would you leak just those emails? And these were private conversations, not for public consumption. So as for a lawsuit, that would be Dick's last resort, Coop, right? Go Rebel, take a page out of your daddy's playbook there, Al Davis, the old man, and follow the family business. But that's if he has no other options. Then Mark Davis will sue. Next!
Well, the Chiefs won on Sunday, so that took a little bit of the pressure off. But the fact is, Patrick Mahomes now has 7 interceptions this season after having 6 all of last year. In fact, he's got 15 picks over his last 15 starts. Ben, do you think the league has figured out Patrick Mahomes?
So I'm shaking my head passionately no. Right, Mahomes is still lighting up scoreboards. He's third in passing yards, first in touchdown passes. He's in the top 10 in every key statistic. The problem has been the mistakes. Those passes that would bounce off defensive players and they wouldn't intercept them are now being intercepted. It's a fun zone, the Chiefs' offense, but they'll figure it out. There'll be a regression to the mean. The Chiefs will continue to put up points, and they will not turn the ball over as much. How did we do, Coop?
You passed this edition.
There it is. That's a winner!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We have our contestants ready to go.
Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
So welcome in our contestants. We say hello to John from the home of the reigning NBA champion, Milwaukee Bucks in Brew City. What's going on, John?
How are you doing, Ben?
Welcome in, John. What brings you to the radio show?
Oh, you know, I like baseball. I thought I'd give this a shot, and I've been a little hesitant to try it before, but why don't I try my hand today?
All right. This is your opportunity to be a big star. All right. Hold on. And, John, what kind of work do you do, John?
I'm a police officer.
Oh, nice. Are you working now or are you off right now?
I'm off right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Okay, I got you. No, I believe you. All right, hold on. I believe you. No one, don't worry, John. No one's listening. All right. Hold on a sec, John. You're going to play. We have Ed in Vegas. Ed, hello, Ed. Welcome in.
Hey, hello to you guys. I love you guys. I've been listening to you for like the last 8 years or so.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Ed. And how's everything in Vegas?
And I know everything's good. We got the win after the Gruden era is over, and you know, maybe we'll move on to better things.
I got you. All right. Yeah. You have a tissue. It sounds like you need to blow your nose. You have a little mucus there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, and what do you do in Vegas? What do you got going on there?
I'm retired now, but I drove cab for 25 years. I drove from 85 all the way up to 2005.
Oh, nice. You got out just before the Ubers took over.
Yeah, yeah. That was a golden era back in the 90s and that.
Now, did you drive a cab in Vegas or was it somewhere
else? Vegas. Yeah, Las Vegas. Yeah.
Man, I'd love to talk to you. I bet you probably have some amazing stories to tell, but we've got to get to the game. I'm sure both you guys, John, as a police officer, probably have some great stories. John, who do you want to partner up with, John?
Let's go with the champ, Eddie.
Oh, John! John's working right now! All right, no.
He heard the song.
Ed, who do you want to partner up with, Ed?
I want to partner up with you since it's the first time I called you guys in.
Ed, let's do it, Ed. Let's school these guys. What are the categories here, Coop? Quickly, please.
All right, gentlemen, this is the Jon Favreau edition of Maller's Mountain of Money. He turns 55 years old today. The categories are as follows: Rudy, Swingers, The Breakup, and Identity Thief. Jon, you were on first. Which category would you like?
Swingers.
Swingers, all right. And okay. Ed, how about you?
Identity thief.
All right.
Okay. All right. Everyone stay in place there. We will have Maller's Mountain of Money. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right. Right to the game we go. It is Maller's Mountain of Money. Eddie is with John in Milwaukee, police officer. And I, Ben, am with Ed, a retired cab driver from Vegas, and let's get the party started quickly here.
Yes, let's get right to it.
Okay.
John and Eddie, you guys are up first. Your category is swingers. We need the first and last name of the athletes in order for you to get points. This category, these guys had some of the sweetest swings in MLB history. Yeah. John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, 45 seconds, begin.
Former Mariners outfielder, he played with his dad. Latino all-star slugger, third baseman, currently with the Padres. He's been with the Dodgers.
Manny Machado.
Yes, Mr. Padre for the
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah. First baseman for the Cardinals and Mets in the 80s. Mustache.
Keith Hernandez.
Yes. Pine tar incident for the Royals.
You got Georgia Brett.
Yes. First baseman for the Cubs.
Mark Grace.
Yes. First baseman for the San Francisco Giants with Kevin Mitchell out of Mississippi State. Southern guy. 20 number 22, I think. The thrill.
I don't know.
Oh, the 100-pointer.
That's good.
Will Clark. Will Clark. You were great, though, with the other ones, man. You were kicking ass with the other ones.
That's 240 points, so it's a good start for you guys.
Job, let's show them how it's done.
We move over to Ed and Ben. Your category is identity.
Very hard category.
Your category is identity thief. It's not that hard. These athletes share a name with another athlete.
All right.
45 seconds. Begin.
All right. Quarterback for the Buffalo Bills right now, Ed.
It's Josh Allen.
Yes. Running back for the Vikings. He used a switch and beat up a kid.
Peterson. I don't know his first name.
All right. Star guard for the Pistons in the 1980s. He was buddies with Magic Johnson. He used to kiss Magic.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. A wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. He's on the NFL Network now. Played for the Ravens out of Utah. Oh. Also the same name of a basketball player. Outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles. He claimed a Red Sox fan called him the N-word at Fenway a few years ago. He's not on the team right now. All right.
That's good.
White wide receiver out of Clemson for the Las Vegas Raiders right now. All right, calm down. Calm down, Ed. It's all right, Ed. It happens. It's a marble mouth. I've had many a night where I've had the marble mouth. Well, I thought that was a gimme. I had that in my back pocket.
Adrian Peterson was the first name you missed there. Steve Smith, the wide receiver for the Panthers. Adam Jones, the Orioles outfielder. And then Hunter Renfro also could have used outfielder for the Red Sox.
Well, he's in Vegas, Coop. The man's a Raider fan.
I said if you guys know baseball, call in. And he called in, so you might have wanted to go to the baseball academy.
But you're a Raider fan, aren't you, Ed?
Oh, that's a good point. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
40 points. So Ed and Ben.
Pretty good.
Ben and Eddie, you guys are up again. Ed, would you like the breakup or Rudy?
Give me the breakup.
All right.
Yeah. We're about to break up.
A few times with a few women. But okay, go ahead.
These are pretty easy. You guys should get some of these.
These sports figures were all involved in ugly breakups. 45 seconds. Begin.
All right. Star for the Lakers. He used to play for the Cavaliers.
LeBron James.
Yes. Wide receiver for the Buccaneers, a former Pittsburgh Steelers star. Tom Brady's buddy. He's a wide receiver, slot receiver. All right.
Grunt.
No. former star for the Orlando Magic. He's a journeyman big man now, a center. He's playing for the Lakers again.
Dwight Howard. Yeah.
Yes, yeah! All right. Coach at Ole Miss. He used to coach the Oakland Raiders. Cocky white guy, real arrogant, does a lot of radio interviews.
He's on Ole Miss now. Yeah, I know, and they're worried about him going to LSU, but I can't think of his name.
Ed, there's two things here, Ed. You suck at the game, but you're entertaining. So at least you're bad at the game, but you're entertaining, Ed, and I appreciate that.
Antonio Brown was the first one.
Drunk.
And then Lane Kiffin was the guy that you couldn't think of.
All right. Hey, John, let's run the score up, John.
Run it up.
Yeah, run up the score.
Do you know athletes that went to Notre Dame?
I hate Notre Dame, but I probably do.
All right, let's see what we can do here.
It's the category. 45 seconds. Begin.
The greatest quarterback of all time, arguably, out of Notre Dame.
Joe Montana.
Yeah. The Bus.
Jerome Bettis.
Wide receiver with the Raiders, Hall of Famer. Returned kicks, won the Heisman at Notre Dame.
Pass.
His last name is a color. All right. White guy, guard, won titles with the Bulls. His brother Jim played in the NBA.
I'm not that old. I don't know that.
Okay. Current outfielder with the Orioles. He came back from cancer this year.
Oh, Trey Mancini.
Yeah, that's a 100-pointer right there, so that's a good one. That's good enough. We rolled over
them.
You
didn't try Adrian Dantley was one of the ones.
He said he's not that old. So.
If he doesn't know John wasn't alive when Adrian Dantley
was playing. If he doesn't know John Paxson, he doesn't know Adrian Dantley. So.
You don't have to rub it in here, okay? I mean, there's no need to rub it in.
Solid.
We're old
hey, John,
farts
here.
Solid W.
You've got a golden ticket because you picked the winner, and Eddie wins again. Thank you. Raz quits the band. Eddie wins again. That's why they wrote a song about
me. Very impressive, Coop. Yes. Very impressive.
Why are you blaming Coop?
That
Ed
the cab driver really nailed the game.
You.